Monica, and welcome to The Interviewer. In this series, I talk to artists, campaigners, men and women of influence, musicians, performers, sportsmen and women, politicians, businessmen and women, and anyone who shapes the fabric of our society. Today, we are in the wasteland between Christmas and New Year. The presents have been opened and filed away to collect dust until they move on to a cupboard somewhere. Gym memberships have already been applied for, and the Christmas Day leftovers still have another 7 meals to go. But there is one creature who lives in this seasonal wasteland that brings hope to all, and that is Comedy Nights! And we are slap bang in the middle of Comedy Nights at MFCC. The first live shows for Comedy Nights in 714 days, thanks to COVID. So obviously, I am extremely excited to bring you Comedy Night veterans Tom Camilleri and Pierre Zamit. Hello!
Hello!
Hello! You've been counting.
No, actually, it's on the Facebook page.
Oh, I see.
But thank you so much for being here, and thank you for taking time, not only in that wasteland between Christmas and New Year, but also, of course, you're slap bang in the middle of Comedy Nights. So before we go anywhere else, I have to just ask you, Pia, with you first, how was Christmas?
Christmas was great, thank you. I'm still full.
Wowzers. Tom, Christmas?
Delightful. Really great. Very busy.
That leads me to the next question. We just said 714 days since the last Comedy Nights was on stage. But I do remember interviewing you both before, and one of the questions I asked was that Comedy Nights obviously means that you have a very different Christmas to everybody else because you're in rehearsals. So really, how does that look? How does that look for you guys? What does Christmas feel like because you're so busy with preparation for Comedy Nights?
Well, we sleep in the soup, really. By the first course, I'm nodding off. It's always really, really tiring because our first show being on Boxing Day, Christmas Day, you're worried about the show, you're really tired from rehearsals and dress rehearsals and having to then rush around and get shopping done. In fact, years when I'm organized, I do my Christmas shopping in October just to make sure that everything is done and ready. This year was not organized. So, yep, it's tiring, but it's lovely because you get to see family, and last Christmas was different, so...
And we're used to it. I mean, ever since we were young, we've been doing Christmas shows. You know, we both started doing Panto. I lived in London for a while, so I, you know, theatre's West End, busiest at Christmas. Suddenly you go to 12 shows a week. And then Comedy Night started. It's very much part of our calendar.
714 days, which infers that last year there wasn't a live show, which means Christmas must have been very different. Tom, if you've been, you know, Christmas-free for so long, or just a very different Christmas, what was last Christmas like?
I am a masochist, so, you know, last year, having a bit more time, I kind of invented a new project. So, the whole Lazarus tiles thing where I salvage old Maltese tiles that are going to be thrown away. So then that kind of really filled my Christmas because that kind of blew up over Christmas and became really popular, which is lovely. And now this year I have both to do. So,
Do you just not enjoy relaxing or don't enjoy Christmas?
No, I really do enjoy Christmas, but I think Christmas to me is that mad rush. It's not, You know, I think we all allow ourselves that Christmas day to really vegetate and have a nap and feel food comatose. But then otherwise, it's the madness. I mean, for me, it's also very much my socializing. So I love being in a rehearsal room with friends going over such fun content because it is actually socializing for me. It's not work. It's not a chore. You know, I certainly wouldn't do it if it felt like that. And Pierre's the same.
Sneaky drink after performances. And you make sure that over the run that you don't set any 9 a.m. meetings. Meetings are always going to start 10 a.m. or later.
Or later?
If at all.
I can't imagine that you do anything else whilst Comedy Nights is on because it's such a big thing.
You build up muscles, if you know what I mean. You, first of all, as Tom said, it's so much part of our lives. I mean, 90s, I started doing panto, early 90s, and so...
1890s.
Accurate.
A century of Pia, the
a
celebration.
A century of Pia on stage, woo! So since the early 90s, really, it's been a marathon over the Christmas period. But
panto's worse. I mean, Comedy Night is like geriatric panto, because the hours are so much friendlier. I mean, we feel it takes up a lot of our time, but panto's insane.
I wouldn't do panto
in
now.
September, tech rehearsals during production week keep going on until 2-3 in the morning. And, you know, as a teenager, it's fun and crazy and never done it before. But then I cannot imagine doing something that crazy now.
Comedy Nights, how long, Pierre, have you been involved?
Since the get-go. So this is the ninth year since, I think it was 2013 that we started.
Because it actually had very humble beginnings.
Yes.
It wasn't intended to be necessarily the big, huge production that it is.
No. The first show, sorry, Tom. It wasn't in the first.
It's a bit of a bone of contention.
I'm so sorry, oh my word.
No,
we believe it constantly, because the first run was special in that we had no idea what was going to happen. So, okay, we're a group of friends, we're going to put on a fun Christmas show. And in fact, Joe and I received the first script. Just as we were about to get on a plane to go and celebrate her birthday in London. And we're like, okay, we should start rehearsing this. And we didn't, obviously. And on the plane ride back, we're going to start rehearsals the next day, said, let's give this script a read. And it was Pastizzita Vera. And we read it and we thought, oh no, what have we let ourselves in for?
Because it had never been done before. So, some of the scripts they had in year one were bonkers.
Bonkers. Nem lalla.
And Joe's eternal fart. And the bambine.
The baby Jesus stealers.
Baby Jesus stealers.
Oh, it was bizarre. It was like a Monty Python acid-fueled.
So in a way, year one was extremely exciting because it was so daring and just, it was completely jumping, leaping into the dark. And then from year two kind of, we hit a groove that we've then been, you know, getting better at and polishing. And now, because we know what really works.
Yes, exactly. The first year when we realized that people were the social satire, so things like what became the Slimmer Girls and things like when we started sort of hitting political scripts, and then we saw and by political, I'm not partisan, but just about the political atmosphere in Malta, we saw the reaction. And so year two then became more of what we are today. Really, so
if there's anybody listening who has not been to Comedy Nights, it is a satire. It's a look at the Maltese, as you said, social scene, but also the political scene and the events of the past year, and kind of really just blowing those out to be very extreme and laughing at Malta, laughing at itself. Now, as an English person, we're very, very used to that. We're very used to taking the mickey out of ourselves. But have you ever had sort of someone just not getting it? Because it's not, it is something that English people would normally do, but it's one of those things that not a lot of countries do, not nationalities are able to really take the mickey out themselves.
Oh, yeah. Because we don't, as you're saying, we don't have a tradition of it. So some people loved it, and some people were horribly offended, didn't get the joke, because if you're making a joke, then you are criticizing in their eyes. And we've had some.
But my favorite thing is standing outside after a show and, you know, having this grand old slimmer dame with a purple rinse and a fur coat walking past her going, "Wow, how funny those ladies, the slimmer girls. I mean, in my minions, they're how funny," as if, like, I'm thinking, my God, you're a walking caricature. But that's the brilliant thing, because some people actually don't get that we're targeting them. But then, for example, with the Baluta boys, who have become a bit of a fixture as well, a lot of people realize it's such a stereotype, the kind of, you know, big sunglasses, puffed up gilet, and a kind of, you know, gravelly, slimmer type of voice sort of thing. And so people are constantly, like, sending links to each other and going, look, Lalo, this is really like this friend of ours. And
yep. One of the first Slimmer Girl sketches ever, at halfway through, there was this loud voice in the audience. Ma, listen, Anne, that really sounds like you, eh? Self-awareness, zero. So Joe and I, obviously, because we're always, you know, very decorous and we are very, very, very professional, we just both burst out laughing.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
And then no idea how we're going to pick up the script. So Joe looks at me with big eyes, like, help.
But you get people who don't enjoy it, which is perfectly fine.
No, you see, I've been in the last run that you had at the Silesian Theatre. I think I came twice. And I noticed that, first of all, it was utterly sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And how many shows? We're talking 9 shows?
16.
16!
Yeah.
16 shows sold
out.
That's
why we look so tired.
And we know you were there twice, because you're in our top 5 cacklers.
Yes, yeah. I do laugh quite a lot, and I do laugh quite loud, and that's not anything I can help. But I always get given seats right at the front there, so you're guaranteed that I'm going to upset somebody. But I did notice that a number of people have walked out or not come back in after the intermission, and that's okay, right? Because if you weren't close enough to the bone, you wouldn't offend anybody, but it also wouldn't be funny.
Precisely. Yeah. Precisely. And in Malta, we're very, very touchy about our politics. We don't know how to sort of take a step back and look at the absurdity. And this is the beauty of the writers, that they can really, really, really hone in on what is absurd. And as you're saying, and that is what makes it, because it's cutting, is what makes it funny. And some people will, either it's just not their humor,
mm-hmm.
which is fair enough.
Definitely.
But some people, we've then upset their mindset. And
we're very safe. We're very safe here because since Malta is so small, it's so very easy to offend somebody who you are in close contact with, a colleague, a family member. I have family members who have come to watch and who have never come again because of their political leanings and because they were offended. And we, you know, as I always say, this happened to start in the first year of the current administration, the Labour government. I don't know whether it was in any part fueled by that or, you know, what happened. But of course, while the Labour Party are in power, they're the ones who are going to get most of the, you know.
But in fairness, you do bash the nationalists as well.
Absolutely.
You don't let them get away with anything.
Absolutely.
They hand us stuff on a platter.
And especially, you know, the state they're in right now, it's hilarious. There's lots, you know, about them in the show. So
I have no doubt that there's lots about them in the show, because this is one of the areas that you do touch on. It's the politics. Again, I'm British, and we cannot help but laugh at ourselves, particularly when you've got someone like Boris Johnson going to Peppa Pig World. I mean, seriously, the whole world is laughing at you, so you have to laugh at yourself. But politics here are taken very seriously. So just on a serious point, have you ever sort of touched a nerve so rawly that it's become a bit of an issue? Have you ever been trolled or commented on after a show?
I'm permanently
trolled and commented on, but that's because of activism.
Yeah.
So really, comedy nights would just be another, you know, tiny little drop added to added to what I do that is so offensive in people who troll me's eyes. That was a convoluted sentence.
Do you want to try that one again, Pia? I mean, seriously, that was like a grammatical
sure
scene.
How.
But it's funny because then some people pick up on different things. Wesley will be, you know, releasing clips from previous years in the run-up to the show. And, for example, there was one which was released at the start of December, which was a sketch about how this estate agent is showing a prospective renter round.
Personally love that sketch,
around a horrible hovel, and then in the end she ends up renting a cardboard box. because that's all there is in her budget. And, you know, there have been, for example, groups on Facebook where it's all about these people banding together because of the terrible landlord situation in Malta, who've been sharing this and, you know, commenting about it. And, you know, there are so many different groups, I suppose, that we hit with all of these different issues. Yes. That we discuss.
And sometimes not very favorably either. There was a Slimmer Girls and Burmla Babes sketch on stage where the Slimmer Girls are going, "Yeah, Burmla," and the Burmla Babes are going, "Yeah, Slimmer." And we managed to offend Burmla.
Yes, there was a Burmla group that got really offended.
There was a Burmla group who, "How do they think they are?" No, 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 it's everyone.
There is nobody that is beyond your sight. Yeah. For offending. I love that. Listen, just to put this in context, you, of course, are not at the Salesian Theatre this year. You are at MFCC,
yeah.
Which is massive. Mm-hmm. So why the decision to move to MFCC, and how was that last night?
Salesians is a building site at the moment.
We cannot physically get into the Salesians. Well, we can, but
there's
no stage.
It's very on-brand for Malta.
Yes.
Right now, it's kind of, doesn't have a crane, but, you know, I'm sure we can find somewhere
quick and put a crane.
it's an interesting year because we're going to have to figure out because the intimacy is wonderful. And for something like this, you know, ideally it's even in a smaller venue, kind of more of a cabaret kind of stand-up venue would be ideal, but then we'd have to do 47 shows.
Exactly, we'll be at it till June.
Exactly. So forget
Christmas
that.
Christmas comedy night in your bathing costume.
But the Salesians is a really lovely, it's a space where even if you're at the back, you can still feel the intimacy of what's going on. And you can see people's faces who are on stage. MFCC, it's a different beast. It's great for us because we're not exhausted by the end of the run because we have fewer shows. But then, you know, we're trying to figure out and gauge reactions to how people are reacting to the show in terms of whether they prefer, you know, this space over Salesians. But we'll see.
You guys obviously have some involvement in the storylines and what's happening as well. I mean, how do you decide what is something that you want to laugh about and what is something that's untouchable?
We have a year-round WhatsApp group.
Oh, where, that's nice.
Yeah, I know. Where we keep...
It doesn't stop. It's on mute forever.
I mean, I love you,
but you
are on mute.
Everything is muted.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I love you both, but everything is on mute. And we... So throughout the year, anything that is potentially absurd goes in there and we discuss it. So there's always a... you can look through it like a ledger, kind of. And then we start discussing... the initial script and does this work, does that not work, what else could we put in, and new scripts are being written all the time throughout the rehearsal process and throughout shows. So something particular happens at, you know, in Malta while we are on stage, we're going to adapt the script then and there.
Yes, I do remember having spoken to Chris before that one of your sketches was completely ditched 2 years ago, and a new sketch came in literally 24 hours before you went out on stage on the first night, and it was one of the funniest sketches because it was so on point.
One time it was 1 hour before the show.
Yeah, there was a sketch,
the hunting one.
There was a song in which I used to come out as a tap dancing communist. This was
because
when...
Because why not?
Because Chris was singing, "Have you seen Simitsi?" It's like a famous Frank Sinatra song, I can't remember. Miss Jones, no?
Have you seen Miss Jones? Yeah.
Have you seen, yeah. So
Frank Sinatra? Can't remember.
I think so. Anyway, it's kind of like a standard classic kind of thing. And because it was, you know, Simitsi had disappeared and there was this whole thing about her being paid 13 grand a month and whatever. And she's saying, you know, don't ask what I can do for you, whatever. And then Simon Busuttil said he was not going to be voting against spring hunting, and all of a sudden I became a tap dancing flamingo instead.
Why not, Tom?
And the song changed, and in the break we just literally there was a press conference which we couldn't get enough bandwidth, so I had Chris on the line following the press conference at home, telling us what's happening, and then I'm telling Chris Dingley while he's writing the lyrics of the song. Tom is off scouting for something that could look like a bird and found a huge flamingo.
Yeah.
But this takes incredible teamwork.
Yeah, and Chris is amazing. I mean, Chris and Steve, but Chris is, he's, you know, under pressure, he can work really fast. And not only that, he's writing it and has to learn it for that show in a couple of hours. Chris carries so much of the show because a lot of the content, him and Steve have created so much of the content, and it's really wonderful to be able to work with both of them because both of them have such different styles and are extremely good at what they do.
I love this portrayal of teamwork. I know that you guys have been doing this together for a long time, but even the idea that you have this WhatsApp group that Tom mutes and
I mute.
You have this WhatsApp group that absolutely nobody is interested in for the entire year. But I love this teamwork that you have and this camaraderie that you have. But there are different people in the lineup this year.
Yes.
Tell me.
It's really great, actually, because I feel like we're a strain of COVID evolving. different
You're
variants.
You're a mutant strain, yes. Tom. Good Lord.
The Omicron comedy nights.
Good Lord.
No, it's great. God, we feel, you know, I feel older now. I used to be the youngest member, but no longer. No, actually, Shani's younger than I am, so...
She is.
So she has...
And she's quite young. It's just, she's so tall.
She
I know
tall.
It's absolutely nothing to do with age, but...
You think she's old because she's tall?
But she's very mature. She is mature beyond he is.
So, we're over at the MFCC... You've gone out in the press and the pre-launch and said there's a difference in the lineup this year. You've this great team, you've been working together forever, but there's a difference in the lineup. What's the exciting difference in the lineup?
Well, there are four very exciting differences in the lineup. We've grown to fit the space.
Oh, that's lovely.
Exactly. The space is so much larger that it would require a lot of running around, but the lineup has changed.
Newbies, but also seasoned.
Yes,
kind of seasoned.
Some of them
actors.
From the Comedy Night Juniors. So it is interesting. It also means just a little bit less running around.
I want to ask you about your favorite characters because I want to find out if the favorite characters that I have are your favorite characters and if they are still in this year. So, for instance, Pia, you are known for the Slima Girls, of course you are, Mella, and everybody knows
Ewea.
That. But you're also known for this incredible interpretation of Michelle Muscat, which is a monologue delivered, I think, in every show that I've been to, and it's been absolutely brilliant. But since the last stage show that was at the Silesian Theatre in 2019/20, there's not been much sightings of Michelle Muscat. So is she still in this show?
Like I'm going to tell you.
It's also problematic because when, you know, when Pia started doing Michelle Muscat looked very different. So...
Are you mentioning that...
We've had to recast the role.
The real Michelle Muscat or the photoshopped one? You see, there are just so many considerations. No, I'm not telling you. But I'm not going to tell you. Come and watch.
But okay, well, let me ask you a different question then. Let me put it a different way. Is Michelle one of your favorite characters? I mean, you always came out and did this one sketch, this monologue. Everybody was in stitches. You owned the stage for that character. But is that your favorite? Is that the
I
one?
Love her. I really do. As in the...
I was about to say, do you love Michelle Muscat or do you love your character?
Michelle. I love Michelle.
Michelle.
The character that Steve and Wesley and I really have created because she's so naive. She really does love her Joseph. She doesn't realize that he's permanently trying to kill her. And she really is. She's just really thick.
What's quite funny is that a lot of the people who watch the comedy nights think of Michelle Muscat as Pia's Michelle. So when they think they're doing a Michelle Muscat impression, they're actually imitating Pia's imitation.
You see, you own it there. You own it.
But so then I do take up some of her mannerisms and her eyes and we're similar there, so that helps. So if you just
a, like squinty smile thing.
If you do it, because this is a really good thing to do on a podcast. Look at my eyes.
This works here.
Exactly.
We'll have to do
really
a video
good radio.
Interpretation
really
to
good
go
radio.
Next to
but on the flip side of that, it's also the time that I have greatest stage fright ever, ever in my life, ever. A, the script does change quite regularly, and we'll see what works, and we'll move things around. And when I was 20, I could look at a piece of paper and memorize it. Now it takes a bit longer. But also
5 years later, peer is
5 years later, the brain starts slowing down. But also the expectations. And I really want to, because I like her so much, because I enjoy doing her so much, I want to do justice. And so the expectations, audience expectations are mine as well.
So when
huge.
You do her this Christmas, if you got a blonde wig for her?
Come and watch. I'm
oh,
not
that
kidding.
That was very, very oh, well done, Judy,
nice.
I saw that evil
that
behind your eyes.
That was nice. I'm not giving anything away. No. All I'm going to say is that the last time she was on stage, she said goodbye.
And Lydia Abela came on and said, my turn.
And Lydia has been, I mean, bless her cotton socks, disappointing.
She's been very disappointing. She's not given us any fodder whatsoever.
Nothing. Can't get a single, not even a line in a script out of her. How dare she be so well behaved?
Exactly.
Over to you, Tom. What has been your favourite character? Baluta Boys, or is it you do always do seem to do a great sketch with Joe, and you talking about your kids, and that seems to be a regular feature. It's either that or I watch the same sketch over and over again.
Christmas father.
The Christmas father. No, that actually works really well, kind of. We play this couple where the wife is a bit, I mean, can you say perhaps a bit simple?
Naive
is the word. Well, she's a bit naive. Obviously, they're quite a slimmer couple, and he's just very haughty and kind of always cross, and she's always terrified he's going to fly into a rage. I always feel really bad while I'm doing the sketch because I feel like, you know, I'm a wife beater. Joe does it so well, but she's like, listen, don't be angry, but can you sit down before I tell you? No, so he's really fun, and it's just obviously them, the whole thing is it's a structure. So we every year we this is what has been very interesting over the past 9 years, is that we need to strike a balance between bringing back what people really want to watch and keeping it fresh, because when we don't bring back certain regulars, we get complaints.
But is there a character that you or even a sketch that is an absolute firm favorite for you?
A sketch that's a firm favorite
or a character?
Well, the Baluta Boys are fun because with these recurring situations and characters, what you're doing with the audience is that, that there's a period of time as an audience member where you are computing and registering what the situation is and what the rules of the situation are. And that allows you then to enjoy the humor behind it. With these characters, what's great is that you cut to the chase straight away. So, okay, this is who we are. And that way we can dive right into the humor and the story. Whereas with any other new character, you need to set it up.
Are they based? I'm assuming this, the answer to this is yes, but are they based on people that you know or you've met? Or do you pick up? With Michelle, it's obvious who you're basing that character on. But Tom, with your Baluta boy, is there like somebody that you take inspiration from?
Yeah, actually, one of the old partners at the place I worked. And I told him and I tease him about it because he's very much, I mean, he dresses exactly the way I dress. So,
popped collar and all.
Popped collar, kind of puffy gilet.
Can I just say right now, yeah. I love the way you say gilet.
Well, what do you call it?
A gillet. I'm from England.
Gillet?
Oh God, what is it? The best a man can get. God.
No, no. Most people call it a body warmer, but you
a body warmer? What the hell is that?
Theatre magic, my friends. Theatre magic. And that's what you've brought to us again for the 9th time with Comedy Nights this year. I'm so thrilled. I'm really glad that you're back on stage. I'm really, really glad.
So are we.
That we'll be coming to see Comedy Nights. Congratulations. I do hope that you managed to rest up. And I'm going to say Happy New Year to you. And thank you so much for being on The Interviewer.
Our pleasure.
Completely, and a very happy new year to you too.
Back at you go.
To listen to this edition of The Interviewer again, or other exciting interviews, head towards Spotify or SoundCloud and search for The Interviewer.